end it after the shovel, or will it? Miami running around, circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Touchdown! Oh, Kenyon Drake! A miracle!
Hello, welcome to Dolphin UK podcast. Just me and Lee this week. Si, he was on the injury report last week. He's now completely sort of out of action.
He's on IR.
He's on IR for at least a week. So just Lee and I. I'm sure you'll love to hear Lee's analysis while I chip away with some points to goad him into giving some analysis. So let's get into that. Well, Lee, how are you, mate, before we do that?
Yeah, doing really well. So always excited. Sorry, just literally stuff's popping up on my phone as we're talking about this. It's been a crazy, hour and a half, maybe.
Exactly.
Crazy days.
Let's hope. Well, it's probably going to happen, but let's hope that the Dolphins don't do anything immediately after we finish recording. Otherwise, we'll have missed out. But we come to you just as this kind of Russell Wilson stuff is going down. Like, can see the package. It's all very interesting. What's your take on it, Lee? What's your any kind of winner either side, or is it like that time for Wilson? Or
I think Russell Wilson needed to move because you can't have this hanging over you every offseason. I don't think, like, you know, it happened last year. I don't think any team wants to be in that position. I think it probably even played out a little bit in the whole Aaron Rodgers thing. Like, let's be honest, Aaron Rodgers blowing a lot of smoke about being unhappy. It all came down to he wanted more money, got more money, and everything's fine. Like, and I think sometimes teams are just not wanting to play that game, especially when it's not been perfect either. Do you know what I mean? Like, Russell Wilson didn't come out of a deep playoff run last year. That, you know, we're not. Yeah. I know he was hurt for part of the season, but also they were losing games when he was there as well. It's not all sunshine and rainbows. So probably makes sense for both sides. I would applaud Denver for doing it. I know they've paid a lot. I'm not sure they paid a lot, but somehow it doesn't seem to be a lot more than. It doesn't seem to be much more than the Seahawks paid for Jamal Adams, which is crazy. But at the same time, you know, I said last year, and I kind of stand by this, and probably even more now, I think the Raiders are the team that now need to go into a complete rebuild, because all of a sudden, I know Derek Carr and the Raiders got into the playoffs last year, and they were unlucky that their season kind of had the speed bumps that were not their fault, you know. Yeah. But realistically, he's now the fourth quarterback in that division. Well, why don't we play the game of rebuilding and trying to sneak up on these teams in a couple of years' time? You know, hope that one of the quarterbacks turns into a bit of a bust one way or the other, and rebuild. But I don't know if chasing with the Raiders is a good idea. So I was a proponent of doing that last year for them, and really the same with applied to Denver. Denver have done it; they've gone out and got a quarterback to try and compete. So. You know, obviously, there's obviously going to be more moves to follow based on this for both clubs. Super interesting.
Well, that Denver offense is stacked now, isn't it?
You
know, Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick. That's a stacked receiver core. It's interesting they've traded Fant. I reckon that must have been the Seahawks insisting on that, because that Fant would have been an absolutely excellent sort of piece there as well. We know
they must have been able to demand something in the trade that was kind of like, you know, that they weren't keen on giving up. But I mean it kind of, I don't know, it doesn't seem dissimilar to what the Rams were able to do by bringing Matt Stafford in last year and turning that team around. You know, I'd say Denver were in a worse position than the Rams when they had Goff starting, but at the same time, you shoot your shot. Like, if it doesn't work, fair enough, but at least you're trying. Definitely got no problem. And hey, I can't wait for the next couple of hours when we see the tweets of Chris Greer's failed us by not trading for Russell Wilson. So
I was going to ask you about that in a minute, but before I do, Derek Carr, 44-0 passing yards less than Patrick Mahomes last year. That's interesting. And
he played really well. I've got nothing against Derek Carr. I just think even at his best, like, Patrick Mahomes didn't play well for like the beginning of the season. The team weren't playing well, and Derek Carr was still not the best quarterback in that division. And I don't know. I mean, hey, you brought up in our group chat after it happened, how does it kind of affect Tua standing in the AFC? Hey, let them guys cannibalize each other. They can go around beating each other up all season. Yeah, you know, at the end of, yeah. at the end of it, those teams could split all their games and they're actually no better off. But...
yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? It's the kind of the pieces fall. I find like the NFC is suddenly, well, it's slowly becoming a bit of a vacuum of quarterback talent disappearing, and that's quite interesting to see how it all develop. I think a lot of teams are stockpiling first round picks for Bryce Young next year. Somebody's going to go and get themselves an excellent quarterback next year in Bryce Young, and there's a few more on the market as well. Especially like it's such a better class compared to this year that, you know, if you're in the market, you're going to get yourself a decent starter.
Do you expect the Seahawks to be in that mode and that we're actually going to see some more movement of getting? I mean, I'd love to see a Tyler Lockett play in Miami. I know everyone's on DK Metcalf and it's like, oh, we'll trade the first round pick for DK Metcalf and all that stuff. But I mean, I just think Tyler Lockett is so underrated. I don't even know why, but
I agree.
A personal favorite.
That's why I think the Seahawks are doing that, to be honest. I mean, you've seen them taking Drew Lock as part of the deal. I mean, you imagine they'll give him a run out. A bit like we did with Rosen, you know, that sort of thing. They're in the same sort of bracket of quarterback, aren't they, really? So
yeah, I mean, look, it gives you, if it works, you can say, hey, look, this worked, great, happy surprise. And if not, oh dear, we've got a high draft pick. Like, do we call this like the unintentional tank?
Like something like that. So, well, it depends if they're being offered 100 grand a game to lose.
That's true.
but I also think if the Seahawks aren't going to do that, then you'll see Jimmy Garoppolo there pretty quickly, I reckon. That's my take.
A trade in the division.
I reckon so.
Okay.
Yeah, I reckon.
Not Deshaun Watson. Now you've got a couple of first round picks.
Yeah, I still reckon Sean Watson going to the Panthers now. That's been my feeling for a while. Tell you what is weird in the sort of general NFL news space. It's been a year since Mitchell Trubisky played, and now everyone's saying he's going to get paid a lot of money. Christ. I just don't understand it. Like, what's changed in a year? I mean,
but this always happens, doesn't it?
It's just stupid. Like, he's obviously going to get paid by someone because otherwise the rumor wouldn't be rolling around. And it's, it could be the Giants. I mean, like, imagine if you're a Giants fan and you've got Daniel Jones or Mitchell Trubisky to go on. It's just, what are they doing? They should play out Jones this year and then go, do you know what? We're in the race for Bryce Young next year.
That's great, because that way you drafted Daniel Jones, giving him every chance, you know, every possible chance, like, you know, put some talent around him this year. If it doesn't work out, you're in a position to draft a quarterback and you've got players on the roster. Like, to me, that's a fair kind of experiment. That's the way to play it out. To be honest, we're kind of doing the same thing. Like, you know, if Tua doesn't pan out after having talent put around him this year, Dolphins will be in a position to draft a quarterback. That's kind of the cycle of quarterbacks in the NFL.
Exactly. That's going to be interesting, man, because it's like, I think the kind of lack of quarterback talent in this draft, and don't let anyone tell you that you're Kenny Pickett's and who else? Anyone else in that space is your sort of franchise quarterback. I mean, you get a lot of hype now, don't you? We've obviously seen a lot of hype, and Malik Willis is probably the only one that I'm kind of slightly interested in being the franchise quarterback in 5 years out of this class.
And is that just because he's the best of a bad group?
Like, that's exactly it. It's a bit like Dwayne Haskins. Do you remember a lot of the hype around Dwayne Haskins? It was evident to a lot of people that Dwayne Haskins wasn't going to be the guy. But he was forced into that situation in Washington. So that's what it feels like with these guys. But you can see that's what the Trubisky kind of stuff's coming for. You can see, and my guy, Jameis Winston, should get paid by the Saints or somebody in this offseason. Well, Jameis Winston's better than Mitchell Trubisky. I won't have anyone tell me any different from that. And he looked fine for the Saints last year before he went down injured. They were 5-2 when he did. So he should get some money, but like, he's a guy that's getting a lot of chances. And if the quarterback market, you know, the quarterback class this year was good, then he probably wouldn't be getting that chance. Same with Trubisky. You know, you wouldn't be seeing Jimmy Garoppolo being touted as a trade to be a, you know, starting quarterback for a significant period of time, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I think a lot of teams are kind of realizing, especially after the combine, like, you know, let's just get someone who can manage the game and we'll let our guys go out and do it if they've got enough talent. Yeah. Or if not, we'll come back to the table and get one of these four or five good quality quarterbacks that are in the draft next year. So really interesting, man. I'll ask you a question because you've alluded to it, but should the Dolphins have offered the same, I don't know, swap lock for Tua and done the trade with the Seahawks?
Not for me. Not for me. I think if that's the route you were going to go, then I'd question why you moved on from Brian Flores. If your goal was to bring in a ready-made quarterback, because part of the problem was the development of the quarterback and the development of the offense. Well, if you would, you know, if your plan was to bring in a proven, you know, Super Bowl winner,
yeah,
it doesn't seem to correlate with the, you know, kind of with the moves made for me. I'd be probably disappointed if they didn't at least have, you know, we mentioned this before we started recording, you know, I think as a GM, you've got to listen and inquire about everything, because if you don't know what's going on, then you've got no idea of what the market value of anybody is. And it's knowledge is power. I think it's just, you know, kind of as simple as that. So that, which is why I really hate it when they talk to GMs, just not listening to anything. Well, then you're an idiot, because there's a way to have a conversation and say, no, we're not trading him, but like, you've got to listen to the offers. I just think that's sensible. And I think this has always been the plan. They're committed to finding out if Tua is the guy, rightly or wrongly. That's the plan. It was the plan when they drafted him, and they've kind of stuck with that. Like, for all the Deshaun Watson stuff and all the problem it caused, they never actually pulled the trigger and they never did it. So, yeah, you know, we're still on plan. So, yeah, and I think the coaching move and hiring offensive minds,
yeah,
you know, is really prefaced around one guy. But there will be plenty of people on Twitter tonight saying that we should have been doing that. And
yeah, it's interesting. I could have seen the Dolphins do it with Flores. Like you say, that obviously now that it wouldn't have even kind of been talked about. It's so obvious that Tua's the guy for this coaching staff, at least for now, that it shouldn't, you know, I shouldn't have even asked you the question. But, you know, a couple of months ago, we'd be talking about this as a very serious sort of topic, and you'd have fully expected the Dolphins to be in the market. So it's just shows you how quickly things change in the NFL, and kind of different priorities and different styles of play are going to make such a big difference to this team next year. So really fascinating stuff to see all this playing out tonight. The Dolphins news of the day is obviously that Mike Gesicki has been franchise tagged, we believe, we know, as a tight end, and thus be kind of making $11 million next year should they not come to a longer term deal. The question is whether Gesicki will sort of challenge it. I believe I've seen a stat banding it around today that he spent 85% of last season lined up in the slot as a pass catcher, and thus will he challenge that and try and get wide receiver money on the tag, which would be very interesting to see if he does. Lee, your thoughts on that? Do you reckon he's going to do it, or do you reckon it's at all plausible that he'll do it? No?
No, I think the whole thing is just a tactic to extend conversations. And look, worst case scenario, Mike, you're absolutely guaranteed the tag money for 1 year and you're back on the free agent market. You could not sign it and not play. But we know he's away on a honeymoon. This kind of takes that decision out of his hands. It means every other team knows where at least the starting point is. But also, if you tagged him as a wide receiver, it affects your ability to go spending at the weekend, kind of when free agency and the market's kind of open. So I think this is just kind of best for everyone. And I imagine Mike Gesicki knew this before he went on his honeymoon. And the whole point is that he's happy, they're happy, negotiations are ongoing. This is kind of, we all know where we stand, let's move on. We can start going and get another business done. And then that's going to allow us to work out your deal and the best kind of, because it's not necessarily just about how much Mike's paid, but it's in the way that it's paid and, you know, what years, where it's kind of, whether it's front heavy or back heavy and stuff like that. So, I mean, just makes a lot of sense. I don't think I'm going to read too much into it being a tight end tag, other than that you're at least guaranteed this year, like nothing
Yeah, for sure. I think if people are getting too caught up in that, will he challenge and try and be a wide receiver? No one's going to pay Mike Gesicki to be their lead receiver on wide receiver one money at the moment.
Couldn't give him the tag.
Yeah, sadly. So, it looks like that will be wrapped up and done, and hopefully there'll be a contract to follow. Obviously, that would be the ideal situation. A lot of people saying, Lee, that Gesicki doesn't fit into McDaniel's scheme. That to me feels a bit kind of, we don't know what McDaniel's scheme is going to be in Miami yet. We can imagine what it'll be based on the 49ers, but you imagine that they've brought him in not to be a carbon copy of the 49ers, and thus they'll probably get the best out of their best playmakers. And that includes Mike Gesicki, doesn't it? So, yeah, any thoughts on that, or do you just cut and drive? We'll have to see.
Yeah, I've got thoughts on it. I put it out on Twitter earlier. This is one of those things that I could definitely get on a soapbox about. Look, if you can't coach Mike Gesicki, you shouldn't be coaching offense in the NFL because the guy can play. It's as simple as that. And for everything we've heard about the intelligence and the sort of how special Mike McDaniel is at designing plays and getting the most out of players, completely flies in the face of this guy doesn't fit in this system. Like, now, I do think it's slightly different for O-linemen because you're asking O-linemen to do a very specific job to help those other guys. But the point is, he's trying to get the most out of the skill position. Then, like, if you can do that and he's the offensive mind that he's being touted to be, then he can use Mike Gesicki. He will find a way to make sure he's impactful. And I just think it's nonsense. And I also think the same, you know, people have said the same thing in the past about Xavier Howard a little bit. You know, oh, Xavier Howard can't do it. Like, if you can't find a way to, you know, to have an Xavier Howard in your team, then you can't coach defense.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's cut and dry, really. I completely agree. I really look forward to seeing how he's used. I don't think he's going to... Do you remember that first year? Was it Gaze at his first year where he was just shoved into block and it was just like... Everyone was like, what's going on here? But I really look forward to seeing how he's used alongside Hunter Long. I can't help but feel like we're going to see a really good player in Hunter Long next year as well, and they'll be a really good tandem.
Imagine a lot of multiple tight end sets as well, where they're using them to work in, you know, together.
And you can see, I mean, like, for those of you that kind of forgotten because we didn't see Hunter Long for a year, guy's a great pass catcher as well. Like, he's an end zone threat, and he should be on the field a fair bit more now. You imagine he's developed into the physical build he's needed for the NFL and picked up the playbook and stuff. So interesting to see them as a tandem this year. We did see a guy earlier saying that they should franchise tag Durham Smythe. I absolutely love that. All the way on board. But in all seriousness, it'd be good if they bring Smythe back because, I don't think he's going to be expensive at all. Slightly above the vet minimum, probably. And you get a competent pass catcher in Smythe, but also someone you can stick in line and block. So.
Isn't that a great blend of a room? Like, a guy who's on a good contract, a guy that's on a rookie contract and kind of a cheap vet. Like, that seems like the perfect blend, as well as their skill sets being a kind of good blend of everything as well. I like Smythe as well.
Yeah, not like the Browns who've got that $20 million. David Njoku's just been tagged. Austin Hooper's on $10 million a year. That's an expensive tight end room for...
You know, does that mean Austin Hooper's getting traded? Is that is that what they're trying to do to try and offset some of that? I mean,
quite possibly, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting they've tagged Njoku actually because I haven't used him, have they?
He asked to get traded last year.
I do rate him, but they just haven't used him at all. So very interesting. Yeah. Dalton Schultz also tagged today. That's another tight end. He had a great season for the Cowboys, didn't he? So I think he's right to cash in because before then, you know,
This is what good teams do. You can't let good players walk out the building, especially in the Dolphins situation where you've got cap space. Like, it's different for some of the teams that, you know, who are up against cap and have, you know, might have to move on from players. But if you let players like Mike Gesicki walk just because you're not willing to quite meet the number, then I mean, I think everyone was kind of understands where Mike Gesicki's valuation is going to be. But it's probably a little bit more interesting when it comes to Emmanuel Ogba, where, you know, rumours are that the number in the market may actually be way higher than the Dolphins were thinking. Yeah. And that changes things definitely. But, you know, it's still expect them to be a conversation.
As we've said before, I think Ogba is, he's a great player. I think he makes made some great plays for the Dolphins over the last couple of years. But the great thing is that we drafted Jalen Phillips last year to kind of take over that lead role. And Jalen Phillips showed that he's capable of doing so. So that's the massive bonus here. It's not like we're kind of moving on from X, saying that we drafted Noah and kind of like, you know, trying to justify it that way. So
you're saying Noah can't start instead of X?
What did that tweet again say earlier? It was like, oh, give Noah a big bonus. So that guy must have been like on some absolute, he was like tag the runs five. And I know it sounds like a joke, but it read deadly serious. So that guy was having a big day. Fair play to you. I think his name was Keith. That's on Keith. all good fun. So, I mean, of all the kind of moves that are shaking out this week, I think we can kind of start to see a bit of a picture about what's going to happen for the Dolphins in terms of free agency and the draft class. It's no coincidence that this class is absolutely stacked at wide receiver. You've probably got five, six receivers that could go in the first round, all different styles. Depends whether you want field structure, sort of possession, that sort of thing. A lot of people say that the Dolphins are going to look at 29 and pick up the best of the bunch there. And that also happens to be the area which is the market, the free agent market seems to have become very saturated very quickly. Chris Godwin's been tagged. Devontae Adams is about to be tagged. Someone else has gone off the market, so I can't remember. Mike Williams has gone off the market, and that kind of leaves Allen Robinson, who had a pretty average year, and Amari Cooper, who's going to be a free agent. But you're going to be looking at around $20 million for Cooper. That's his current contract. I don't think it's going to take too much less, and the market's going to be hot. So, does that suggest to you, as I think it does to me, mate, that all these rumours that we've seen of a big wide receiver coming in are looking less and less likely? Or do you think the Dolphins are willing to outbid anyone for Cooper? What's your take there?
I don't know about Cooper, but I've got a personal... Like, I'm not personally a big fan of his. So that's probably tainting my kind of thinking on this. I don't see them spending massive on a wide receiver. Not massive. On a lineman, on an O-lineman, definitely. And I think that's where they would rather put the money, because if that's good, I think they believe with two of his accuracy, he will make wide receivers better. Not even better. Like, they'll be able to put them in a position to be better. But, we saw last year, the protection's got to hold up. Like, if you can't get to the end of your drop, then it doesn't really matter what the wide receivers are doing. You could have the starting Pro Bowl roster out there. But if the quarterback's sitting on his butt, then, you know. So I think there's probably, you see the money go there. I still think there's plenty of value to be had in the free agency market, though. It doesn't have to be the top end for you to get a very productive talent and B, really good fits for what you're trying to do. Yeah. Top of my list still in the free agent market, I still would love to see a Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, it's completely fair. I think my point here would be that I think they're going to target receiver early. I think that, like I say, there's a deep class, so they could wait till the second round and pick up a sort of, you know, when people pick up like DJ Chart, DJ Moore, stuff like that, productive receivers in the second round all the time. But I can see it sat at 29. Somebody like Treylon Burks could have gone a few picks before, but with Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, and stuff like to go, could be sat there slightly just ahead of the Dolphins if they want to move up in game. That's the sort of receiver I think we need. And so I think that that was my next point was going to be, I think if the wide receiver market is becoming saturated in terms of big names, draft is best for receiver, spend the money on the O-line. I think that's what they've got to do. I think with the kind of cap space we've got, it's just crying out for like two starters, you know, maybe another one thrown in there as a potential kind of take someone's place on there as well. So two, three good players on the O-line. And there's plenty of O-line talent this year. Obviously, we've seen a few kind of retirements and stuff in recent days. I've forgotten the guy's name from the Bucks that's retired, so they'll be in the market there.
Ali Marpet.
Yeah, exactly. So there's going to be competition, but this is where the Dolphins know that there's a weakness. This is where the Dolphins have to kind of fix it one way or the other. And this is where free agents are thinking, you know what, this defense is pretty good. We could come in and we could make the difference. And
yeah, this could be an attractive proposition. Yeah. You know, it really is. You know, aside from all the usual, it's Miami, there's no tag, you know, all those sort of things. It's also, you know, potentially a team heading in the right direction. Going back to Amari Cooper, just a minute ago, I know, you know, you're a fan of Amari Cooper. Rather than outbidding teams on the market, would you be willing to put a trade together for him? Because, I mean, that's obviously why that's been made public, because they want to be able to try and get a trade in place before they have to cut him. You know, they don't want to cut him.
I don't think Amari Cooper's contract is that tradable. I think they've obviously the Cowboys have got to get out this offseason, which only cost them like $1.5 million or whatever against the cap. So that's the smart option there. They obviously did a good, you know, it was a good plan to put that in there. But if we took that contract on and he sat at $20 million a year plus sort of roster bonuses and stuff, it's a lot of money. Like I say, I think he's going to get somewhere around that. Somebody's going to be willing to pay him. But, you know,
let me put it a different way to you. Would you be willing to give up a pick and extend him so you can turn some of that into a signing bonus and get it off the books straight away and pay it up front rather than?
I think so. I think I could get 3 good years out of Amari Cooper at least. And he'd be a solid, you know, wide receiver 1/2 with Waddle, depending on which day of the week it is. I just think they complement each other. I love Cooper's route running and the fact that he can beat the best sort of lockdown corners in the league with that kind of footwork. He's completely different to Waddle in that you don't expect to see him sort of blistering and taking the top off your defense with your pace. But he's just such a technician, and that's something that the Dolphins haven't had at receiver for. You know, I know Landry's in that same sort of space, but no, I don't think he's as good as Cooper. I think there's just too many like signs that point to it happening, isn't there? In terms of it's from Miami. I know a lot of NFL players are from Miami. Went to Alabama. There's that connection there again. Obviously, didn't play with two or anything like that. But if you're going to come from that sort of Nick Saban school,
it's a school that the Dolphins, you know, that Chris Greer is happy to take players from, and I think that's important. It's definitely something to be aware of.
Exactly. And then if you kind of take a step back as well, I just think that they want that this coaching staff is probably going to want a marquee signing. It might not be a Cooper. I think it's going to be offensive line. And just to kind of say, look, we're going to run the ball and stuff it down your throat, AKA what the Niners have been doing to teams for the last 3 years. But if Mike McDaniel wants to go, do you know what? You know, we're going to pass the ball. We've got faith in our quarterback. And he's going to he could go and spend that money and get someone like Cooper.
I mean, there's no reason that you can't, especially if they're renegotiating with Xavier Howard, where you're going to get some of that money off the books because that's going to be up front. And, you know, hopefully that does get done. And also, your marquee signing at wide receiver would be protection for Jalen Waddle, where he doesn't become every opposition's sole focus to stop. Because let's be honest, because Devontae Parker not really having breakaway speed, not really the sort of guy that gets wide open, it's far harder to win games moving down the field with a guy. Don't get me wrong, great hands, and I'm a big fan of Devontae Parker, but that's hard work. Whereas Jalen Waddle's a game breaker, and you need to give teams multiple options to be scared of, and maybe marquee signing kind of protects that a little bit, because you know we're all really excited about Jalen Waddle, but you don't want to see Jalen Waddle getting double teamed every week and back to you know 5 and 6 yard plays all the time.
I do wonder whether the Dolphins are going to just. I think my kind of gut feeling on this is the way I think they'll go, in that they'll kind of splash on the O-line and then draft. I think they'll like someone like John Metchie, who won't be going in the first round because of the talent above him, but should go, you know, day two quite comfortably. And they can make something out of John Metchie because he's had his injury issues, etc. But he's just got like that breakneck speed which you expect to see. You know, if they can get a Jameson Williams because he's injured at the moment and he goes at the end of the first, somebody like that, I think it's going to be. It just makes far too much sense to me, and I just think that they'll be looking for somebody who. And not somebody who's going to be Deebo Samuel, but they'll be looking for someone who is different and can kind of unlock the offense that they want to run. And that's why I kind of come back to Treylon Burks, who is just that kind of bulldozer of a wide receiver. He's such a strong build. And I don't think he's too dissimilar in build to your Coopers of the world. So, I mean, I'm excited at the wide receiver position, mate. I know Sy's a big, always like, you know, goes on about the wide receiver position. That's his thing. But I'm here for it this offseason. I think we're going to have to upgrade that group a lot because you can't get the true reading on Tua. And I just, you know, there's going to be injuries. And as soon as, you know, if we lose Waddle, you kind of lose your season at the moment, don't you? You don't really know. It's going to go. Yeah, so scary stuff. But on the O-line, I think the O-line is going to get bolstered. I really hope it is. We'll be sitting here this time next week and the Dolphins have splashed some cash and taken one of the premium tackles or guards on the market, and we can kind of move forward there because that's what I was coming back to earlier, the kind of way that the draft and the free agency's played out is that when we're sat at 29, you're going to have your premium tackles and premium like offensive linemen are going to have gone, and then you start to reach, don't you? And I think that's what's happened the last couple of years. I think Austin Jackson, you know, he was always a reach at 18, but he was the kind of one they had to take there. So they're in a difficult position at 29. I can't say that Chris Greer aced that trade last year, despite the fact we all thought he was very clever at the time. And it's a difficult first pick for Mike McDaniel and Greer to make as a combo.
I think it was worth the risk. It's not, definitely looking back on it, you say, obviously, you can't do that because it's not panned out well. But,
yeah,
you know, the Dolphins don't start 0-7, then there's a chance that those picks are way closer together again. And it's there's so much goes into it. I think it was worth... You're backing the fact that you think you've built a good team.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think you have to work on that basis all the time that you think you're... You know, I can't imagine there's too many GMs thinking, oh, great, I've put a terrible team together. This is going to be a great season. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, it'd be interesting to see. I mean, the longer it goes on, the more I can see the Dolphins moving out of that pick, whether it's to move back for more picks, move it for a player, whatever. I don't know. But it's hard to get too deep. I mean, I've been trying to watch draft stuff. I watched all the combine like an absolute nerd. I, you know, been trying to get into more college tape. But to be honest, until free agency happens, the Dolphins could go so many ways. You know, you could rebuild the skill positions and not and go O-line all the way through the draft. You know what I mean? You could go the opposite way around. There's so many different things. We haven't even touched on running back. Do you know what I mean? Where I think it's fairly universally thought that there's going to be change there, whether that comes via free agency or the draft. And, you know, next week is going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be good, man. I'm excited about it. It's like that one time of the year that I am thankful for having like Twitter notifications turned on. Like I've got Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, and Tom Pelissero, and those are the three, and you normally get it there. I was subscribed to that My Sports update guy who then started to work for ESPN, but it really annoys me that he tweets news and doesn't like tag the person he's got the news from, so I had to unfollow him. I don't know why that annoys me so much, but it does.
You've got standards. I like that.
I've got standards. So those three guys are bringing my news next week. I'm hyped for it, man. It's going to be exciting. I've got back into the draft tape. I must admit, I've said to you guys offline, I've had a few months where I was just like, you know, not that excited about the NFL and just wanted a bit of a break from it. But picked up the draft tape again at the weekend. We're doing the full 10 yards guide again this season. So look out for that, guys. But just kind of started watching some wide receiver tape. Unfortunately, like, this is such a good class. Like, I love watching your Drake Londons of the world. I don't think the Dolphins will be in a position to get Drake London at all, but that guy's going to absolutely dominate in the NFL. Excited to see everyone. I'm still living on my hype of Amon-Ra St. Brown last year. I was all over him. I was so high on him last year. And fourth round, I was like, what am I missing? But going right by the end of the season. So that's a good thing. Mate, we were going to talk about the head coach and his interview style, weren't we? Because yes. I had a conversation with Si and Lee in the middle of the week, and I was just thinking, it's quite a fun interview style. It's part of what attracted me towards McDaniel when we were in the hiring cycle, and I was saying, this is the guy that I want. But I just wonder how it's going to come across, you know, 0-3, 0-4 to start the season, if that did happen. Is it going to be a bit much, and are people going to be looking for your traditional, we'll go to work, we'll fix this answers, rather than the sort of nuanced jokes we might get instead? What do you reckon, Lee?
I'll be honest, I think it's because he's genuine. I believe that's the way he is. Do you know what I mean? I don't think it's a show. And I think that probably is more important to me. You're right. And the media will definitely jump on it if things don't start out well. But let's be honest, if you want to build a coach by the sort of playbook of stereotypes, then you end up with Joe Philbin. Yeah. We saw how that panned out. And if you want to go the other extreme, you end up with Brian Flores, and we've seen how that's panned. Like, you know, I'm willing to go with it and see what happens. Like, let's judge it on what it is. You know, you can easily go 0-3, 0-4 and play really well. You know, you got to see, there's so many things to take into account, but I definitely get what you say. But I think it's also interesting that watching the Pat McAfee interview in particular, he also made it very aware. Look, I've won no games. Like, people are excited and all this is fun, but like, I've not won any games. Like, this is going to be very different if we lose. Yeah. And I think, you know, the fact that he's aware of that proves to me how, you know, it is, that is genuine, and that is his way rather than a show. And I think if it was a show, I'd be really concerned if I didn't feel that it was genuine. So
yeah, I agree. I'm obviously willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's done nothing wrong yet, but do you know what I mean? It feels like this fan base in particular is going to have a field day. If we're like I say, you know, God forbid we're 0-4, 0-5, and he's coming out and cracking jokes, it's gonna, you can tell, you know exactly which sort of fans are gonna be sort of, you know, on the God, this guy's a joke for us, can't you? But every fan base has got them. We'll just have to hope it doesn't happen.
I mean, he doesn't give you that feeling that it's going to go that way. I know it's easy to say that everyone's excited about a new coach, but he does feel more exciting, more intelligent. I also think that for all the talking, there's still not a lot to it. They're not giving away any major secrets. Like they said at the weekend, we're in the market for a veteran backup quarterback. All right.
Yeah.
And guess what? If they don't get the one they want in free agency, they're going to shrug their shoulders and draft someone. Like it's not breaking news. You've not given away any sort of like major strategy there. I think it's different. If you come out and say something silly whilst knowing you're in negotiations with Gusecki or with Ogba or something like that, or you know, you slip up on a question about Xavier Howard because you know all that stuff, then definitely we've got reason to panic. But I think, you know, they're giving away stuff that doesn't really matter. And this is what we always questioned about the Brian Flores way, was there's some stuff that you're keeping secret and it's not a big deal if everybody knows.
Exactly.
And not knowing is not a big deal either. Like, it's just, I think, you know, he appreciates that there is a media side to this job, that things have changed from the old school coaching way. And I think that's really important, because too many people, you know, in all walks of life and all businesses want to do things the way they were done 20 years ago. That's not the way the world is. And hey, it might not work. And if it doesn't, I'm sure we'll go back to an old school coach. But I mean, I'm excited.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? I mean, I think you're completely right. The guy is going to be given a chance. And that's the main thing. I mean, I am excited. I just wanted to get it out in the open, but we've just got to stick with it, like, and not take it to heart. You know, it's our favourite sport, but it's also a man doing an interview and trying to guess what people want to hear, or trying to give people nothing whilst giving them what they want to hear. So it's a very difficult job, isn't it, to manage that?
I do think as well that for me, and it might be different for everybody else, I imagine it probably is very much on a case-by-case basis. He sounds to me at the moment like he's a fan. Like, that's what I would be like if I was in charge. Do you know what I mean? I would be as excited as he is coming across. And that makes, I don't know, for some reason that makes me happy about it, because it feels like he has the passion that I have for it. Yes, you're getting paid for it. And, we do things like this and we support the team because we love the team, you know, good or bad.
Yeah.
But he seems to have that sort of passion for football that we have for our team. And if that's what he's going to put into this team, then exactly. I think we're on to a winner.
There we go. That's all positive, mate. I love your positivity. I always do. We're going to finish this week by naming three free agent predictions. So I put you on the spot, but I'm going to go first because I knew that you wouldn't have seen my message saying that's how we're going to finish. So the first free agency prediction I've got for you is that we'll sign Lakin Tomlinson, 49ers guard at the moment. I think it makes too much sense. He's going to know what McDaniel wants. He's going to work with him before. If we kind of bring in another 49ers, ex-49ers running back or something, as it's being touted, there's going to be a sort of, awareness in the offensive line room of how it's going to work. But so I think that's one of the first moves we'll make.
I think that's smart, because I know Brian Flores did the same thing, bringing in some guys to help install this system. I think that just makes sense. And it's a position of need. It's not someone just to get them in for that. It fills two needs really well. So that definitely makes sense. I don't know.
I've got a second if you want more time. Do you need
Go
time?
On. You go with a second.
My second is, after brought in Tomlinson, we'll bring in Dwayne Brown, who's currently on the Seahawks as a tackle. I think there's your two offensive line signs for me. I don't think we're going to go Terron Armstead. I think we're going to test the market, as we were saying before this, before we came on, go and get his price. But I think his price is going to be very high. I think you're going to go and get Brown from the Seahawks. One of his strengths is clearly pass protection. And he's kind of, he knows what he's doing in the run game as well, to be fair. He's not great all the time in the run game, but that pass protection, Dwayne Brown's going to anchor that line with Jackson and Tomlinson at guard. I think they're going to move Eichenberg out to right tackle and then put Dwayne Brown in at left tackle. So
I love the idea of Eichenberg at right tackle, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he'll be 36 this year, I can see from my notes in front of me, Brown will, but I think they just need a season where they've got experience on that line to try and develop Eichenberg and Jackson. He might be 36, but he's still performing very high, very highly. So, yeah. There's my first two. Go on. You can flip one back at me.
Yeah, so I actually think they go the other way, and I think they do splash the cash on Armstead. I think it's... I think the kind of Shanahan and his... And the systems that Mike McDaniel's been in, they've got a history of getting a stud there. And they know, and I think they also know that they have to pay, like that position doesn't come cheap. And if you do it on the cheap, you get the results you expect. See last year's offense. Do you know what I mean? I think that's where they go. And I think, other than that, I think this isn't really a free agent pick, but I think we're somewhat underwhelmed by some of the other signings, because everyone's expecting it to be all the top tier players. And I think there's going to be some more, like, give it a week and think about it, and we'll be way happier than we are come Tuesday night at the start of the league year when stuff is happening.
Yeah, there you go. My third one then, mate. I was going to say Raheem Mostert, but I don't know what we're going to do at the running back position. I actually just can't even throw a die out at the moment. I think we're going to sign Steven Nelson as our third cornerback from the Eagles. I think last year, we kind of cycled through that third cornerback with Nick Needham and I've forgotten his name, Justin Coleman. I like Needham. I don't think they're going to pay him for some reason. I just don't think he's going to come back onto the roster. But I think Steven Nelson from the Eagles kind of sits in that space. He's been the number two corner for the Eagles for a while. He's a kind of man coverage guy, but I think he could be good in the slot. And I think that's the kind of guy we're going to be after. It might not be Nelson, but I think we'll spend a decent amount of money on a third cornerback.
Yeah, it feels like Nick Needham's going to have a suitor out there that really wants to pay him to be a starting outside corner. So I could definitely see that being the case. Like you said, I don't know which name to put in there, but yeah, you can definitely see that being a route. That's interesting. I do think of somebody else. Again, the running back one, I just come back to what you were saying about running backs while I try to think of someone else. The running back is such a mystery because I don't know if... Like, everything inside me says you've got to go out and get a big-name running back, but it doesn't feel like that's the sort of what they've done in the past. It feels like they've got the most out of a good running back, and it feels like that's more... The situation, and like, I don't think it's going to be a Leonard Fournette, for instance. It's going to be someone, I don't know.
I think they could go with a fifth, sixth, or seventh round pick and turn that into something decent. But then it just screams obvious to me that like Jeff Wilson's out there. They've used Jeff Wilson well in San Francisco for a couple of years as that sort of rotational guy. Mostert's out there. Do you know who we've also got? We've got Jermichael Hasty, who we took off their practice squad, but they clearly liked him as an undrafted free agent. Yeah. So it wouldn't surprise me if you're going to, you know, we're seeing a short sort of, it's going to disappoint a lot of people if we're running into the season with like Hasty as one of the kind of guys. But yeah, I also think Philip Lindsay's going to still be there. I think he's exactly their sort of running back, isn't he? Like,
yeah, definitely.
Hits the hole very quickly, adept in the passing game. He's going to be fine.
Doesn't fumble.
Yeah,
I think that's huge as well. You know, ball security is something, you know, he's got a proven track record. That's just, which is great. I'll be honest, I would love to see them go and trade for a veteran running back. Yeah. I banged on about it during the season. I would see what it takes to get Saquon Barkley out of New York. I know about the injury history. I know he's going to need paying, but man, it feels like you could get something out of it. Like, that's one of those moves that could... I keep going back to, and it's not because of the player comparison, but it's because of the way it panned out a little bit with Reggie Bush. When they brought in Reggie Bush, it was, oh, well, Reggie Bush is injury prone. When he was here, he was just awesome.
Yeah.
It just feels like you could get some value there, and that a team that... The Giants aren't... I know every team's expecting to win, and we were saying earlier, GMs don't build to lose, but at the same time, it feels like there's a deal that could be done there to get that done if necessary. That's just for me. I'd like to see that. Free agents. Yeah, I actually think they go... it's trying to separate like my personal bias from what they're going to do. I suppose it's not really free agency. I think we might see a trade for a center because of how highly they're going to regard that position, and that a veteran might be a preference over a rookie. That's me. Did I see somewhere that Lathan Tomlinson had played center?
I might be
wrong there. This one's going to be way too much information.
I didn't write it down in my notes, but no, I don't know. But that would, again, it would make sense. I just find the sort of Boston College link is going to be interesting. So I think there's a couple of, as I've said on this show before, there's a couple of good linemen coming into the draft from Boston College. I wonder if one of those is going to come with us. And one of those is, of course, a very good center. So I'll have to see.
Did Lionel Coleman come out of Boston College last year?
No, it was UMass, wasn't it? It was somebody in the vicinity of Boston. Yeah,
so it's just, hey, I should read. Yeah.
No, I know what you mean. I don't think it was, though. No, I think he was a kind of from somebody in the vicinity. He was on a Massachusetts.
Yeah, he was.
There you go. I've got that for knowledge. I only remember that because UMass were absolutely terrible. One of the worst college programs in the country. And when we got him, I was like, oh, good. So there you go.
It'd be interesting to see how these the relationships with coaches. We see it all the time, you know, with like Hunter Long coming out of Boston, because you know, we were all sure at the time that was predicated on being a Brian Flores pick. It'd be interesting to see how this new coaching staff have their sort of tendencies and places they like to go. So
could go West Coast. Could go West Coast. That would be interesting. I'd like to see a sort of US. You can imagine the kids that have played at USC, UCLA being quite good fits for Miami. Sort of, you know, that LA market's not too dissimilar to what you've got down in South Beach. So, yeah, interesting.
Like you said, I think the other thing that everyone needs to be aware of is, look, it's Tuesday right now when we're recording this, and already a bunch of people have gone off that free agent list. Yeah. Like, free agency just looks so different by the time you get to it than at the end of the season. And all those people that are now saying, oh, yeah, well, this guy's a free agent at the end of next season. Yeah, it's like,
he's not going to get anything. There. Yeah.
It means nothing right now. Like, so much is going to change between now. You know, all those fan bases that had their hopes on signing Mike Gesicki in free agency today are disappointed. So, like, this is why, even when planning the podcast earlier, we were saying, like, want to start talking about draft stuff, but you can't talk about draft stuff until free agency is done. Yeah, you can't really talk about free agency until the tag stuff is done, because it just changes the landscape so much.
That's it. And that's a good way to bring us to a close this week. Oh, you've enjoyed it. The two of us do enjoy bringing it to you, even though sometimes our notes are just being crossed out seconds before we join, because we have got millions of things to talk about still. Hopefully Si's back with us next week. Buckle up. It's always fun, isn't it? Even if the Dolphins don't spend any money immediately, I'm sure we will. There's a reason we've got the most cap space in the league, isn't there? So.
There will be players coming and going. Even if it's not the top level, there will be. This is when teams are, you know, built. This is when depth is built. You know, there's always moves. Hey, this is when a Mac Hollins signing happens, you know? So,
yeah, I like that. We'll leave it on one final bombshell. Kyle Van Noy entering his third season in a row as a free agent. I mean, that guy has had it tough, but oh well.
I tell you, what though, his pocket hasn't.
Yeah, very true, very true. Right, let's get out of here. Thanks for listening, guys. Enjoy your weeks. Stay positive and see you later.